Good morning.
Good morning. We'll call the Sussex County Council meeting February the 5th, 2013 to order. First thing, Mr. Lawson, approval of the agenda.
Yes, good morning, Mr. President. Thank you. We can amend today's agenda under executive session, striking job applicants' qualifications, leaving personnel, pending potential litigation, and land acquisition.
I have a question. Was this, I didn't realize this was on today's agenda.
Yes, ma'am.
And I would have had a lot of people in here because I had a lot of interest in the Route 1 issue. I'm sorry, you said February. I didn't realize it was going to be today. So I hope that reporter gets every word.
Okay. Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
So moved. Second.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Phillips. Mm-hmm. Any questions on the motion? I'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We had the minutes of January 29th, 13. Any questions, corrections, or additions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. There's one letter from the Food Bank of Delaware. Dear Sussex County Council, thank you for your support of the Food Bank of Delaware's hunger relief programs that provide food to thousands of men, women, and children in need every year throughout the state. Community support such as yours helped the Food Bank of Delaware during 2011-2012 provide over 590,441 meals during the school year and summer months to children in need, distribute 6.2 million pounds of food through our network of partners, and over 84,064 backpacks filled with food when school is not in session. We appreciate your support, and most of all, we thank you for being a partner in ending hunger in Delaware, signed by Patricia D. Beebe, President and CEO. And that's the only piece of correspondence.
Any correspondence from council?
Not that I can talk about it.
Okay. Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today, at Councilwoman Deaver's request, we're joined by representatives from DLDOT, who are here to make a presentation, a general update on things that are transpiring at the agency. Natalie Bernhardt is the DLDOT chief engineer, and she will lead the presentation. Natalie, please come forward. Thank you for being here this morning.
Where's Tina Shockley? That's what I want to know.
She's right there.
She does a good job.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for inviting us to give a project update along the SR1 corridor. This presentation pretty much focuses along the SR1 corridor, but I do have staff here who could answer questions about other things we're doing in Sussex County as well. I have Mike Simmons, who's our Assistant Director for Project Development in the South Region, and Mark Lutz, who's our traffic engineer. So see if I can figure out how to work this. Today's presentation will focus on several projects. Some of them are in our capital program, so there are larger projects along SR1. Some of them are traffic safety, signals, lighting, that sort of thing. And then finally, some bicycle and pedestrian updates along SR1 in the beach area. The three specific projects we're going to talk about today: the SR1 and SR30 grade separated intersection just south of Milford, the SR1 pedestrian improvement project, which runs along the SR1 between Lewis and Rehoboth, and the Plantations Road, Cedar Grove Road, Postal Lane Realignment Project, which is just west of Lewis. So the first project is the SR1-SR30 grade separation in just south of Milford. It's at the SR1 and SR30 Wilkins Road intersection. It was designated for safety improvements due to the frequency and severity of the crashes we were seeing there. The project will replace the existing at-grade intersection with a grade separation, which is essentially an overpass. Improvements will also be made to the existing intersection of Wilkins Road and Cedar Creek Road to include the installation of a traffic signal and auxiliary lanes to accommodate the various turning movements there.
Excuse me, yes. That traffic light will be at Wilkins?
Wilkins and Cedar Creek Road.
Cedar Creek. Oh.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Construction started early December of last year. Right now, we're pretty much doing some very basic operations and utility work. So you might not see a whole lot of activity out there. The weather hasn't been great. But we expect to be done the end of this year or early next year for that project.
Great.
I'd like to suggest something on that highway.
Sure.
Where you come on the side road, come on this road here. They've got them where they stop. It should never be stopped. It should be merging. and it could easily be done. The lane's already there. I don't understand. And it should be picking up the speed and go in with the traffic instead of starting off from a dead start. It should go right in with the same speed as the traffic.
You're talking about where you come on southbound, that auxiliary road that comes in and enters southbound.
Yes.
Okay.
So right now there's a stop sign?
Stop sign.
Huh.
I was with a state policeman the other day, and he suggested, and we were talking about it. We thought that was a need. It could be done almost at no cost.
Okay. We will certainly look into it and then get back to you. Any other questions on this project? You obviously can ask questions at the end as well.
I'm just very happy about it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Our pleasure.
The next
project is what we call the SR1 Pedestrian Improvement Project, which is along SR1 between basically Five Points and Rehoboth. Obviously, high pedestrian volume area due to the outlets and such down there. There's a need to provide continuous sidewalks along SR1 in this location. Also, due to the recent number of pedestrian crashes, we did go back out last fall and study some crash patterns to see if the project we were already developing met the needs based on the more recent crash data. And we did find that the majority of the crashes occurred at night in unlit conditions, and over the half of the accidents occurred when pedestrians tried to cross SR1 mid-block. And what we call mid-block is between two signalized intersections, so they're not crossing at a signal. So those findings are very consistent with what we were already trying to address with the project. So the project will fill in gaps where there are missing sidewalks. There's places where you have a sidewalk and then there's none and then it picks up again. So we'll focus on filling those gaps. We'll provide some additional signalized pedestrian crossings in the corridor and some lighting at various locations. So right now we are acquiring right-of-way. We expect to be completed with the right-of-way acquisition by this summer, and construction will probably start later this year or early next year. We will be working out there in the summer, but with shoulder closure, so we don't expect to have a really heavy impact on traffic.
So there will be more signals in that area, pedestrian cross signals.
Correct.
And what about the lighting, of all over lighting?
Yeah, there'll be additional lighting.
Additional lighting.
Yes.
That shouldn't take too long, though.
Nothing we do is ever easy.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what the planned duration of the project is, but we can get that information for you.
Can you talk about putting signals on Route 1?
Yes.
Around the shopping area, where people have been crossing over and getting hit.
I thought that's what we were trying to get away from.
We typically do, but there's certain situations where the movements and the people and, we try and accommodate everybody in this area. We just need to do some additional things because of the type of traffic we have there.
We've had three editorials in the local paper asking for safety in that area.
Is there any long-term plan to provide greater mobility through that corridor?
In what manner?
Bypasses always come to mind.
Nothing on the books right now. I mean, obviously, anything that we would do down there to provide additional capacity or is just very costly. So we're really trying to make sure that we can accommodate the types of traffic that we have down there. Obviously, we have a lot of cycling down there, especially during the summer season. A lot of pedestrian traffic, so we're really just trying to make sure that what we have is as safe as possible for the people who are using it.
Well, there was going to be a sort of a bypass from Nassau Grove area to Five Points. It was going to come down to Five Points, and the Route 9 at Five Points was going to be closed. Is that not going to happen now?
I am not.
It came from with the Shell development at Nassau, the Vineyards. It was going to begin there and come down to Five Points, bypassing the former Route 9, and then that Route 9 would be stopped right in the middle of Five Points. That would be closed off. That's not going to happen.
We're not currently working on anything.
Going to come through Deep Valley, the development that's proposed, and come down alongside of Henlopen Landing, that community. Not happening, huh?
I'm not aware of.
I think you're probably referring to what was known as our Western Parkway project.
No. I know what that is. I have drawings of what it's going to look like.
Okay.
From Delbot,
I'm not aware of it. It could be something that's trying to be worked through our subdivision group to help with the developers.
People of Henlop and Landing are very aware of it.
Okay.
And they have been asking me, is this going to happen or not? So, no, it was on the books. So if it isn't, I just would like to know.
It's not in our current CTP.
Not, okay, so we're looking at a long-term plan.
But I can certainly get some history and find out where any of those efforts are.
Well, when that area is, that's 50 acres of commercial, when that's developed, how will people get back and forth on Route 9? How would they get into the shopping center?
I'd have to look at what the subdivision plans are. I'm not aware of what the
not
development proposal is.
It's a 50-acre shopping, 50-acre of commercial.
Mm-hmm. But that still has to go through our subdivision process, even if it's a commercial property.
That's what you're calling it. Okay,
yes.
Fine.
When I say subdivision, there's a portion of our planning department that reviews any development that comes in for entrance access to our road system. So a lot of times they work with the developers to get the best internal routing system or any improvements that are needed to the road network to make sure that people who are trying to access their property are accommodated. So
we'll forget about that. We heard that it's going to go from those two new buildings that have been built right there on Route 9 at the Nassau Vineyards area, and that was going to that right there was going to a new road was going to start right there, going down to Five Points, using 23. Okay.
I think you're probably referring to the US 9 relocation
project.
Not going to happen.
We had done some very preliminary work on that project. We hadn't gone very far with the design, but we are not currently
working on it.
Is that a reason? Was there a reason for that?
Would it?
The marketplace, there's no more built construction stuff. There's just no need for it.
Would it be possible for anyone that was speaking from the audience to come to the podium, because this is also viewed on the internet, and
okay,
we like to identify who's speaking.
Okay.
Is it safe to say that the bypass and pedestrian safety on Route 1 are not, I mean, they're two different things. I mean, a bypass isn't going to do anything for safety on Route 1, so.
Not unless you completely build a separate facility
and eliminate the cars or something, right? You still have the people running across. And when I go through there sometimes at night and stuff, they're darting across the, mid-block. And I don't know how you're going to prevent that unless you put fences down the center of the thing, so.
Well, we hope our new project will help, and then we'll have to assess how it's doing, and if other things have to be done, we'll have
sometimes
to assess
it. Sometimes I sense that they're maybe trying to dart across the road to get to one of those bus stops or something like that. And they still seem to me to be placed in some just awkward, horrible location. So I would think locating the bus stops, more logically placing them instead of just places for people to stand alongside the road.
You can certainly
a little sign about that big that says this is a bus stop. It just encourages maybe the mid-block type of.
Right. Well, we certainly are working with our DTC as well to evaluate options in the corridor. So it's not just DLDOT. It's a DTC effort as well.
Are you looking at the park and ride? People who want to get across the Route 1 from the park and ride to Rehoboth Avenue. People keep that, well, you should be an overpass and stuff. I mean, that's just not going to happen. I just can't imagine an overpass going to happen. But they're very concerned about getting across that Route 1.
We're very concerned as well.
Yeah. Okay. So. But nothing's happening with that.
Well, we're, like I said, we're doing this project, which will be part of, I mean, it goes by the park and ride. It's within the limits. So I don't know exactly where the pedestrian crossings, the new ones are.
But there may be a way to get across safely. With a bike or walking, is what you're saying?
Well,
right now we don't have much at all right there.
What's your question?
Yeah,
excuse
they're supposed
me.
To park and then get on a bus. They're not
right.
Supposed to park and.
No, we have bikes. We have bikes, bikers. We have people riding
mm-hmm.
bikes. Yeah.
Well, like I said, this project is hopefully going to make it safer for all those types of people to get where they're trying to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's the intent. Any more questions on this one?
No, that's great. Thank you.
Oops, went too far. The next project is the Plantations Road, Cedar Grove Road, Postal Lane realignment. For those of you who are familiar with this intersection, it's what we call a dogleg intersection. So one road comes in to Plantations Road, and then you have to kind of make an S-turn to get across to Postal. The proposed project will realign the intersection so that there'll be one single intersection there. That will eliminate the jog in the existing alignment, improve sight distance, provide a separate left turn, right turn, and through lane on each leg of the new intersection. And hopefully that will reduce rear-end collisions and instances of drivers attempting to pass people on the shoulder. The project will also provide bicycle lane sidewalks to improve accessibility for all modes of transportation. Again, we are currently purchasing right-of-way actively right now for that project, and we expect to begin construction probably mid-year next year, so in the June-July timeframe. Again, we will be working there during the summer, but there will be lane restrictions on Plantations Road and Postal Lane during the summer. So you may be working, but the lanes won't be closed.
But Postal Lane itself will not be widened.
It'll be widened at the intersection to accommodate the turn lanes.
But then it goes back down to its narrow self.
That's the major capital projects that are along the SR1 corridor that are safety-related. These projects listed here are more signalized intersections and lighting projects that we wanted to bring to your attention. SR1 and Cave Neck Road, we just put in lighting, overhead lighting there, and it was activated last night is my understanding.
Thank you.
So that's completed.
It's a very dangerous intersection. Can you lengthen the area that you can, you know, when you're going north on one and you want to turn into Cave Neck, can that area be lengthened or made, you know, more? You can get more cars as they wait to turn left.
Widen a shoulder?
Is it possible? It would really help.
I have to look at it. Decel lane. SR1 and Kings Highway, through a joint effort with DelDOT and Delmarva Power, we did add roadway lighting at this intersection last year, so that's already in place. Later this summer, we'll be doing some traffic counts at the SR1 and the median crossover at Bay Crossing to follow up on community concerns about the safety of the unsignalized crossover. So we're going to wait till the highest volume of traffic to see what kind of issues we have there before we can determine what the next steps are. But so we'll be doing that traffic volume count this summer.
Are you getting results from the folks that live in Bay Crossing about this at all? I think you're getting correspondence from them. I think maybe there was a survey.
I'm sure that's why we're out there studying.
Yeah, there were some very bad accidents.
Mm-hmm. SR1 and Dickinson Avenue, which is the signal at the Rusty Rudder, was rebuilt last year, added countdown signals, which is the signals where you're crossing and it tells you how many seconds you have to get across the road. Also brought it up to ADA compliance. We have several signals that are in queue to be rebuilt along the SR1 corridor. They're listed there, SR1A and Dewey, C Air and C Colony. Those will be scheduled as funding is available through the next two fiscal years. And then we are actually doing some more work in the monitoring type area at the Indian River Inlet Bridge, including adding a full weather station and some security monitoring capabilities that was always part of the project. It's just being done now. Some more traffic improvements. All the signalized intersections through Fenwick were upgraded as part of a recent paving project that was completed last year. So all the crosswalks, the pedestrian signals were upgraded to current standards last year. SR1 and Minos Conaway Road, we're doing a traffic signal study to see if a signal is warranted there. So that's underway. The study is underway.
There have been so many accidents on Minos Conaway Road. Is it too narrow? Or is that have you determined what the problem is? If that's what it is,
I don't know.
The light's not going to help much, but it'll help some.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
SR1 and Fred Hudson Road, we'll be doing some crosswalk pedestrian signal and ADA compliant curb ramps as part of a paving project that's supposed to start this calendar year. And then SR1 and SR16, this location showed up in our hazard elimination program this year as a safety concern, so we're going to reevaluate the need for an overpass at that intersection.
That
so that's just kind of getting geared up again.
Mm-hmm.
The study. Short term, we're going to do modify some of the advanced warning signs and the beacons to make sure people realize that there's a red light up ahead to help there. Bicycle and safety study improvements for SR1 from Five Points to Rehoboth. as I said before, we are already doing a project there, but we have gotten, we had a rash of accidents there last year that we wanted to take a closer look at and try and see, you know, if there was something that was causing them that we could address that wasn't already being addressed. In the cycling area, the majority of the crashes were people driving their bikes the wrong way. You know, so a bicycle is supposed to drive with traffic. They were driving the opposite way. We did receive a request from the Sussex cycling community to evaluate that corridor and see if there was anything else we could be doing for cyclists through that that corridor. We'll be putting together a working group with members of probably the state police, DelDOT, obviously, and the cycling community, and see if there's any ideas we can come up with to make it better than what it is already. So that meeting hasn't been set up. It'll be set up shortly.
Are you talking about more signs on Route 1?
in Fenwick, is with this pedestrian signals and stuff, mm-hmm. is there a program installing sidewalks?
Through
Fenwick now, through the Route 1? Because right now you've got pedestrians and bicycles. You're forced into the street, into the shoulder, which is very dangerous. So I didn't know if there was a...
I don't think there's actively a project to do that. But, yes, we're aware that that's an issue there.
Well, that would help safety, right?
Right.
Get people out of the streets.
Yep.
You say you're aware.
Well, we know that just from working in there, even with the paving program, that the sidewalks stop and start, that people kind of walk maybe through some parking lots and things to stay off the road. So when I say aware, that's what
it
I meant.
Help.
Is there, what would be the process to get a commitment from DelDOT to install sidewalks?
It would have to be prioritized against all the other needs in the state. So, you know, through the county council process, I think you give us a list of priorities every year. So if it becomes that high on your list of priorities to do, then that would be the avenue to get it onto our program.
Okay.
Well, with a large number of the population, I mean, it advances where we're down at the beach. It's everybody's in the street, and the people, when they get down on vacation, they want to walk and ride their bicycles. They want to be out, so there's much more. I got one other question for you while I'm on pedestrian.
Sure.
You got those green signs that show the person walking, you know, for those walking areas, you know, the designated crosswalks. And I know in some states, you know, you're required to stop when you see some of these signs. Now, in Delaware, are you only required to stop and give the pedestrian a right of way when there's like the little lean-to thing that says state law, and like we have out here now? Or is it, because I see one now on Route 1 north of Bethany Beach, heading towards the inlet, where one subdivision's on one side and they've got those pretty green signs. Everybody's going 50 miles an hour. 55, 60 miles an hour. And if people from other areas think that you're supposed to stop and hear somebody stand there and we're having people stop, I mean, it's confusing whether you're supposed to stop or not to stop. Coming off of out of South Bethany, heading north to Bethany, and if you shoot into Bethany, there in front of Sea Colony, they also got another one. As soon as you, right on the merge, you get these signs, and it gives the indication that people are visiting our area that they may have the right of way. So I'm confused. Do they have the right of way, or what is the law in the state?
I'm going to have to defer that to Mr. Lutz.
I don't even know. I don't know whether to stop, run them over.
Apparently, I don't know either.
Zigzag? What?
You're not allowed to run them over. We'll start with that.
Start with
that. State law is yield to pedestrians. It's not. Other states have stop for pedestrian laws. I think that's the law in Maryland. I think the city of Lewis has a more restrictive town ordinance or city ordinance than the state law. I think in Lewis it is stop for pedestrians.
Right.
But it's yield to pedestrians that are, so if there's a marked crosswalk and the pedestrian is, now the pedestrian has responsibilities as well. They're not allowed to walk out in front of somebody, a car that's coming along. If the pedestrians in the crosswalk, vehicles are required
well, that's the confusion, because there's so many people visit from other states,
mm-hmm.
and most of these areas are people who live in other states, and they may assume that if they and their family with all their beach crap are trying to walk across this Route 1, you know, just south of Indian River Inlet, trying to get from one side of one private subdivision to the other, that somebody's going to stop for them, and they're going 55 miles an hour. I mean, it's illogical. Somebody's going to get smashed there because of just the confusion of not, there's no uniformity in these laws. So I would just caution you all, if you're going to put these signs up, that there better be a disclaimer that, you know, yield to traffic, not the car yielding to the whatever, because it's inappropriate. If that's not the case, then they ought to get rid of them, because somebody's going to get killed.
Admittedly, those are not the best places where you would want to have a pedestrian crossing.
Mm-hmm.
Absent an overpass, and the fact that, like you said, you have a principal arterial and residents and beach. Frankly, this is one of the things we struggle the hardest with, is how to get pedestrians across the street at a location like this. And a lot of those were put in at a time when, in the distant past, the DOT ignored pedestrians altogether. In the 80s, 90s, we started putting crosswalks at a lot of places.
But maybe
now we're realizing that we probably put them in at some places where we're maybe giving the pedestrians a false sense of security.
Well, that's what's happening.
Agreed.
And I just, in these areas, especially when you're merging in front, you're coming off a coastal highway, merging into a slower thing, and people are in the summertime are stacking up, and if somebody steps out in front and somebody slams on the brakes, you've got, again, serious situations. But could there not be some kind of clear sign that says something to, somebody's got the right of way? And not to imply that the pedestrian does, because if you're, I don't know, it just.
I think we'd probably have to get our lawyer to look at that a little bit closer, but my understanding of the state law, again, is that that the pedestrian has the responsibility of not stepping out in front of a car that's going to cause them to slam on their brakes. But once the pedestrian gets in the crosswalk, now it's the vehicle, the motorist's responsibility to yield to that pedestrian. And again, I'm not saying that that's 100% clear in every situation.
I would just suggest then to remove it from a section of roadway that they're going 55 miles an hour. I'm just, I don't need a lawyer to tell me that. Sorry, Everett.
It's hard to ride down a road and know you've got a crosswalk.
It's just.
Cross on a road, you're riding 57 miles an hour. It's sort of a joke.
If somebody slams on the brake, they're going to have somebody slamming in the rear, and then you're going to kill more people just to try to whatever. But it just, some logic could maybe come forth into this whole thing.
We struggle as well, because for every crosswalk we think doesn't belong there, there's a list of 150 people who swear it needs to be there. So
they understand it needs a way to get over, but I think there also be clear to somebody, whether the pedestrian or the traffic, that it does put you on notice that there's could be pedestrians ahead, but you don't know whether you're supposed to stop or they're supposed to start, and they're starting and then they're stopping and you don't know what to do. So I would just highly recommend, before some family gets wiped out, that we...
We can take a look at the signage. Yeah, that's fine.
It's dumb. it's that simple.
Okay. Here's a list, as I said earlier, this presentation focused on the SR1 corridor, but there on the screen is a list of all the other things we're currently working on in Sussex County. Things that are currently in construction, the SR1 and 30 grade separation. We're finishing up the Indian River Inlet Bridge demolition contract. The US 9 intersection improvements will start later this year, and that's the intersections are listed there: Gravel Hill Road, Hudson Fisher, Dairy Farm, Sweetbriar.
Good.
So there'll be intersection improvements at
more
those
lanes,
spot.
More
at
turn.
The intersections, there'll be the
left
designated
turn
lanes
mm-hmm.
and
Good.
Things of that
Good.
Nature. Mm-hmm. The SR26 detour project, and then the mainline project, which will be coming later this year. Most of the other ones, the longer list, is things that are in design. So they're being designed, and the construction time varies depending on the project and the funding we have available.
Marching South study, that's been there for 20 years. Still studying.
When you look at new commercial projects, I'm not sure if it's, I think it's us that we're supposed to really take a look at whether they interchange from one parking lot to the other, if there's a crossover within the parking lot to the next parking lot. They're not occurring, and I'm just wondering, is that something DelDOT looks at, or is that something we're supposed to be doing, because it's not getting done? They say Route 1, if you could just travel from, say, Arby's to whatever the next store is inside without having to go out Route 1, is that something that's on the books, or, you know, where is that situation?
I mean, part of it is, again, part of the, it's in the subdivision, our subdivision process is part of our planning when we do look at the proposed projects and the entrances on there. I don't know how much authority we have to mandate that there's interconnectivity. I think we can suggest it, but I don't know that we can absolutely say you must do this.
It's up to us, really. Yeah, I see. Okay, I just want to make sure where it's at.
It's easy to do it for the new stuff now, but you can't go back and,
I see it.
You can't go back and get the old guy to do it.
No, I'm not going retroactive, but I'm seeing it in our code that we should be doing it. That's what I was wondering. Okay.
Yeah, we do a lot of it, I think, now, if you ask my.
That was the end of our presentation. We'd be happy to take questions.
Any more questions of council?
I have a question, and that is, where is the money going? Is it going upstate? Or how do you determine what, you know, where the funds go, whether they go to Sussex County or go to Kent or Newcastle? How do you determine that?
All the funds that we collect go to our transportation trust fund. So any of tolls, which aren't down in Sussex County, but tolls, fuel tax, division of motor vehicle fees, they all go into one pot, into the trust fund. The first thing we do is pay off our debt service. Then we pay our operating costs. And then whatever's left, it goes towards projects and programs. Those projects and programs are prioritized through, in the northern two counties, through the MP, the Metropolitan Planning Organizations, and in Sussex County, it's through council. And that's how we identify what projects get funded.
Do they have an advantage by the fact that they have the MPO?
I don't believe so. No. We still have to follow a process.
Should we have there been any talk about having one down here?
Well, the MPO, I don't know all the details, but the MPO is a federally mandated program, and it's based on population and things of that nature. So you have to have the right density and stuff and things like that to qualify to be a metropolitan planning organization. So I know that we're looking at the most recent federal legislation that got passed in July. They are looking at whether Sussex is supposed to have an MPO. It may not be, you know, it's really based on the population density. So it may not be, for example, in Dover, it's Dover-Kent MPO. It's Dover and a little bit of Milford. That's the area in the MPO. In Sussex or in Newcastle County, it's Wilmington, you know, Newark, but it's also a little bit of Cecil County in Maryland. So it's not necessarily like a hard and fast geographical boundary. It's basically a regional
type thing. I think I saw one for western Sussex and part of Maryland, over to the Salisbury area.
Right.
And okay, so that's not really nowhere right now. That's what you said.
I don't know they're trying. You know, part of it is that we just had the census done as well, so they're just getting that data and probably trying to figure out whether there is now the population density to form an MPO in Sussex County. I'm just not aware exactly where that is. We can certainly get someone to get back to you on that. That's handled in our planning division.
Overall, with funding, are we better off than we were last year?
I think we're holding our own. I mean, our secretary has been doing a great job with trying to not borrow money. So we're realizing a savings from debt reduction, you know, where we're not having to pay off debt because we're not borrowing as much. So that money goes back into the pot for other things. The governor has recommended that we get some money from the general fund for the year, our fiscal year coming, which starts in July. Which certainly helps, and then our revenues have been okay. You know, they're not off the charts up,
right?
But they're not down either. So we're probably a little bit, as an overall program, a little lower than we were last year, but not significantly so. As long as the ESG money comes over from the General Assembly,
sort of lags behind the economy, I think, because it's sort of picking up here. You know, projects we have, at least in this area, and in the Route 1 area.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions of council?
No. Thank you very
much. Thank
you.
We'll get back to you on your questions as well.
Thank you for coming down very much. Very important.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you. Mr. Lawson.
Good